Is your app visible in the Apple App Store and in Google Play? Well, GummyCube can help optimize your app to increase search ranking. So see how you can increase your app and increase your revenue with App Store Optimization by GummyCube. To learn more, go to www.gummycube.com. That's G-U-M-M-I-C-U-B-E, gummycube.com. And thank you very much to GummyCube for supporting the show. This episode is brought to you by Asking Point. Ratings and reviews are one of the most important factors affecting an app's ASO, which is App Store Optimization. Asking Point has a ratings booster rating widget, which it uses analytics to find your app's fans and asks them to rate the app. What this means is it increases quantity and quality of your ratings, and this actually results in more downloads. So go to www.askingpoint.com/appguy, and thank you very much, Asking Point, for sponsoring this show.
Hi, my name is Grant, and I'm the founder of AppPress, and you're listening to the App Guy Podcast.
The App Guy Podcast, straight from your host, Paul, the App Guy, sharing his app entrepreneur journey with you for your enjoyment. And now, Paul, the App Guy.
Welcome to another episode of the App Guy Podcast. I'm your host, it's Paul Kemp, and I'm really blessed with this podcast because I get to meet some amazing people, and you'll learn why I'm saying amazing in a minute. I want to try and get inspirational guests who can tell us about the companies they're founding, the journeys that they're going on as entrepreneurs, because this helps you out as an entrepreneur listening to this. You will get inspired, I guarantee it, from all the different guests that I have on this series of podcasts. And I wanted to today introduce to you someone who has really been actually inspirational for me as well. Now, one of the reasons I became an entrepreneur and one of the reasons I set this podcast up is because when I was in corporate, I used to have these crappy meetings. And I'm telling you, they were boring. They were just waste of time. And then along comes this service called AmazeMeet. We're going to talk about it. And the big catchphrase is it will get rid of crappy meetings. So let me introduce the co-founder, Violeta Nedkova. She is the co-founder of AmazeMeet. Go to AmazeMeet. That's AmazeMeet, meet.com. Go and check it out. Violeta, welcome to the App Guy Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell us about AmazeMeet then. What I love the catchphrase there about getting rid of crappy meetings.
Yeah, it's life's too short for sucky meetings. my co-founder, Mike Sutton, he came up with it. I think that was the first thought in his mind because he also worked with big companies, and actually he's a consultant. So every time he was working with a team, they would be like, you know, we have these awful meetings, like, can you save our meetings? and he just thought to create this thing he called the Meeting Facilitator Canvas. And we're giving it away for free on the site. And when you download it, it's like the business canvas, but it's for meetings. So it outlines the whole process of meetings, from scheduling to who comes and why, to the agenda items for the day, and key takeaways, next actions, etc.
Well, I can say the scheduling thing is really painful, and certainly, you know, someone is running a podcast as well, and the amount of back and forth that you can have just trying to get a thing set up is how have you overcome that whole scheduling problem?
Yeah. A lot of people say that about, you know, Outlook and emails, and some people even say, you know, sometimes it's enough to exchange a couple of emails instead of throw a whole meeting and waste so much money and time from everyone. So basically, we're just making sure that the meetings that are taking place are with the right people for the right reasons, you know. So if you have the meeting purpose, the agenda items, you know, approximate time, why you're inviting these people, you know, the reason they're there, it kind of eliminates some really some waste, some of the meeting waste, and we just aim to do that with the app that we're building right now. And the scheduling, I think we're just going to do some integrations with Google Calendar and so on. I don't know all the integrations. That's Mike's part.
Yeah, he's your co-founder. Well, you know, let's change gears slightly and tell us about you, because again, this is a show to inspire anyone listening to this who is going to a crappy meeting in a crappy corporate job. You know, tell us about you. How did you get involved in a startup?
Well, I've been part of the startup industry for like 2 years now. I've always been this kind of independent, autonomous person. You know, every time someone would tell me, you know, like, find just a regular job for God's sake. And I'm like, you know, I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to an office, you know, from 9 to 5, whatever. I just always was more creative, more, you know, flexible. I want my own schedule. That's why I started freelancing and stuff. And as for the startup, as soon as I met some entrepreneurs who had their own businesses and just like I was hooked to the culture. You know, how free and how amazing it feels to be your own boss and, you know, to just kind of have control of. And so many people have amazing ideas. So it's like catching, it's like a virus going around, but you know, a good virus.
Well, I just want to capture some of those things you're telling me, because I think there's someone listening to this right now who feels the same way. But has taken the wrong path. So you're saying things like you wanted your own freedom. I think that's a very important part of you know, doing what we do, which is working and for ourselves. You're your own boss. You don't have to deal with any crappy boss. You know, you can actually just make decisions. And also, some people think that getting into being a work from home or solopreneur or working for a startup, that you lose the community feel that you get and the belongingness you get from a company. But what you're saying and what I'm learning is that you get this from the community that you're in, the startup community, because everyone feels like a big family.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't feel that, you know, isolation, because I'm a part of so many communities, online communities. To be honest, I'm going to London soon because I want to experience the community in person. But right now I'm just saving up money. So I think it's important to have the balance between, you know, an online community and an actual, you know, in-person community, because in-person community just, you know, face-to-face contact is always important, but with the online community, you can reach out to, you know, Silicon Valley, for example, and so many amazing startups that are just across the, you know, the ocean.
I know. I was just actually saying to someone that I feel more connected with people all around the world than I do with people that are, you know, living very close to me. And that's because I have more in common with the people that I'm connecting with online, as opposed to. But you're moving to London. Where are you actually moving from, and what's the reason for that?
Right now I'm in Bulgaria. I was born and raised here. Actually, I've lived elsewhere. I've lived in Rome, I've lived in England, and a little bit in the States. But basically, I just like to move around for different projects. And right now, I don't feel so much like moving around as just settling somewhere for the community feel. Because when you're a digital nomad, for example, you can feel isolated if you're not surrounded by your people in the place you're at. So that's why I want to be in one place that has a really, you know, big startup community that I can learn from and get involved with and so on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Again, what you're saying is, as a digital nomad, which is what a lot of the listeners like to think about, I'm not a digital nomad, but I'm trying. I'm going to be spending hopefully 2 or 3 months over in Thailand working near a beach, if I can figure out the podcast recording. And then I've spent lots of time in Dubai working from there. So I do feel like part of this digital nomad lifestyle, but you're saying that part of it, you do need to be around people in a way to meet them in person.
Yeah, you know, it depends on what kind of personality you have, because, like, for example, for introverts, more introverted people, it would be, you know, I think it's good to be, you know, at a screen's distance from someone, because you're not in the spotlight, you know, you're not at those big noisy events, and I have that part of me, but also I have the really loud social parts that's really louder than the other one, and that part really wants a community of people that I can, you know, touch and be around and just engage in more personal ways.
And tell us how you're actually funding this whole project. Is it yourself, or do you have investors behind you?
No, we haven't raised funding. My co-founder Mike, he's putting in some of his savings, because, to be completely honest, I don't have many savings.
Right, okay. You're like many of us, yeah.
But, you know, we're both okay with it, and I think it's important sometimes to put in some money, because, for example, we just hired an incredible designer. And she's just she's a great team player, and without her, I mean, the design would have been awful.
Right. Yeah. So this is the interesting thing, is that, and again, I want to remind people that we try to be as genuine on this show as we can, and unravel all the hype that you hear in the press. So the founders of companies tend to be the last ones that ever get paid, because you're taking on team, you're building the team. Is that fair to say, that as you're building this out, that, you know, you don't think too much about paying yourself big wages? It's just about getting this thing off the ground.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, a startup is so so difficult to lift. Like, it's so risky. I mean, it's so good to be autonomous and to be your own boss and to hire people and stuff like that. But the other side is, you know, you don't know if it's going to work out or flame out in 2 months or 6 months or whatever. So you basically don't ever know if you're ever going to be paid. And that's kind of scary.
And I want to remind people listening to this, that is the truth. That unfortunately, there's no big paycheck guaranteed to you at the end of the day. And yeah. And I guess some people have big wins, and some just take the experience with them and unfortunately don't get financially rewarded. So, but that's interesting. That so. And then what I'd love to know is, you know, as you're going through this, how did you get clients? How did you start a launch and get people attracted to AmazeMeat?
I wrote an entire article about it. I believe in building up to the launch. So I would never launch something and expect people to come to me. I mean, I'm a marketer, so I know that you have to market from day one. So for example, we were kind of lucky because we didn't really plan it, but when Mike came to me with the canvas, you know, we started showing it to people and talking to people who were complaining about meetings. And one day, someone from Product Hunt saw it and posted it on the homepage. And I was freaking out because I didn't really think about the canvas on Product Hunt. I was thinking about the app on Product Hunt. But that was lucky that they put the canvas on, because that brought, you know, traffic, some attention. The Next Web featured us on Facebook, and we got some coverage in Taiwan from all places.
Oh, wow.
And we got thousands of subscribers from that. And right now we're just inviting those people to help us build the best MVP and, you know, product as we can. And right now that's our focus before the launch, to spread the awareness about the canvas, to build the best, you know, product we can with those people's help. And I think that helps to engage them as well. You know, if they're invested in the earlier stages of the startup, they're more likely to stick around.
This is great, Violetta. I have to say that something has become very apparent to me, which is we have a lot of people listening to this who only focus on apps. But what I'm taking away from this is that you can build out like a website, maybe a prototype, you know, that people can start getting involved with. And then if you're lucky, that gets posted to Product Hunt, which is a popular website for finding new products and services. And then you get your community, and then you start to build features for that community with the view of then releasing an app, which I'm guessing when you release the app, that will also be posted onto Product Hunt.
That's the plan. But however, there's a but. If you can't submit a pre-launch to Product Hunt, so it has to be launched, or it has to be a product that people can use and play around with. So if you're hoping for Product Hunt, it has to be something that people can use, don't just look at, you know, because, for example, that's the case with Kickstarter. You know, people see this amazing idea, they're hopeful, they wait months and months, and then nothing happens. So Product Hunt is trying to avoid that, you know, that disappointment, and only features things that are almost sure to be out or are already out.
Yeah, and obviously in your case, you have a downloadable Canvas facilitator. It's just what it's making me think of is that anyone out there who's building like an app, maybe there are features of that can be put onto our website, and it's much easier, to rather than go through the Apple approval process, building an app, getting all the developers, maybe doing a website version, some sort of online tool, some cloud solution, and having that, you know, that could be used for whatever you're doing, like you've done. That's what I was trying to get at. That possibly, rather than wait a year for the app to come out, you know, to start getting people involved in early on by doing some web app or online
download. Yeah, exactly. And I really think that more people should give things for free in some way, because, for example, you can, you can do a lot of things for free. You can give out, you know, PDF ebooks or whatever, guides. A lot of those books get on Product Hunt. And also, there are some services that don't actually offer the trial, the 14-day trial. I don't like the trials because they ask you for credit cards, and I don't do that. You know, as soon as I see credit card, I'm out. But some people have avoided that by just giving you free features for now and tell you, you know, if you want more features, just upgrade. And then you get hooked to the product. And when you're hooked, you have to pay because you want more, you know, leeway and stuff. So I think that's why, for example, Slack got very popular, because you can use it for free. And Meerkat, you can listen to the Meerkats without paying or registering or anything.
So let me just appeal to all you app entrepreneurs, you app marketers who are listening to this, or if you are currently a solopreneur, who's got an app on the App Store, you will need to go and check out GummiCube. That's GummiCube.com. They have an App Store optimization service, but also they have this Data Cube, which is an App Store optimization tool that allows for some really great tracking and reporting. With Data Cube, optimization becomes part of your app release cycle for each new build, and you'll be able to track your rankings by build, by time period, or by even both. They have live data which is consistently updated to ensure that your attribution results are accurate, and letting you understand your download baseline and where to make adjustments. All this reporting is available in a wide variety of formats. I'm looking at their website right now, and they have a lot of great tracking reports that you can use for your apps. So I suggest going to gummicube.com, that's GummiCube.com. Go and check out Data Cube, get a demo, and thank you very much to GummiCube for supporting the show. This episode is supported by Asking Point, and I just wanted to talk about Asking Point. I'm really a big fan of their software and their tools, because they can help us create very compelling products. Now, how do we do this? How do we create great apps? Well, we know, if you've listened to any of the episodes, that one of the big themes from my show is feedback and making sure that we're actually in touch with our customers. Because, you know, the app stores do create some kind of barrier between us and the people using our apps, while Asking Point help us overcome this because they enable us to create mobile polls. We have the tools within their system to create a quick and easy polls, which will give us this valuable feedback. It's real time, and so you get it instantly. And it uses your app analytics so that it really makes sure that people using your app are not going to be frustrated by getting these things, because you will be able to find the fans, the people that use it, and possibly you'll be able to pick points in your app where you will get maybe the best feedback, and then you can come back and ask them for a rating. So it's just so intuitive. Go to askingpoint.com. I've got an offer for you. If you go to askingpoint.com/appguy, then you'll get a discount on their premium services. And thank you, Asking Point, for supporting this show. You are talking about the app world. I mean, it's giving away a little taster for free, getting people hooked. And I honestly can't think of a really popular app that hasn't probably followed that strategy. So
yeah,
it's obviously the way forward is, yeah, give it away for free, but, you know, make it a kind of slimmed down version, and then have the in-app purchases for adding on those features. Well, this is great. So there are two more things that I like to do before we do say goodbye. One is that I'd love to, get from you some of your pain points in your business right now. And if you have, you know, things that you can think of that are frustrating or a real pain point for you, then maybe we could explore an idea for a new service or an app, maybe.
A pain point for me personally?
Yeah, but in your business, something that's frustrating you, anything you can think of that's been a real frustration for you that is slowing down the process of launch or getting your app out there?
For me personally, it's that there's so many tools and they're all similar, and I kind of get lost in the tools that I use. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but I think that's a personal thing. That's not like a pain point for everyone. That's just for me, maybe.
Well, that's interesting, because that is another example of curation. And I mean, there are so many things out there and we just don't know. And that's why we always go maybe for the recommendations or and just curating like a list of tools that you can use. I mean, that's why I think my past guest, Bram Canstein, was so successful with his curation of startup tools. It was one of the most hunted products on Product Hunt.
Yeah, you know, curations do the best on Product Hunt, really. They do.
Which is ironic, because actually Product Hunt is curation, which is, so it's curation of curation in a way.
Yeah, it's inception.
Oh yeah, the deeper you go. So at least that gives someone listening to this some time to think about what it is that they could curate to make the world an easier place and less noisy.
Yeah, you know, actually another pain point might be getting feedback from people. I mean, there are ways. There are definitely ways, and I know how some startups have done it. But most people don't even know how to do it. Like for us, we're lucky because we can do it with our subscribers, and it's still hard. You know, we did this growth hack where when you register for the app, the beta testers, there's a question that asks you, how would you like to give us feedback? And there are three answers or something, you know, email, Slack channel, Skype. And most people chose the email me in a week. Nobody answered those emails, and we have to send them again, and the Slack channel kind of died. Maybe that's our fault. But it's like the difficulty of continuous, reliable feedback from people, because they're so distracted with other things. And I guess, I mean, there are ways, like, for example, Envision lets you share mockups and stuff with people, and Slack lets you, you know, invite people to your community or whatever. But there's not one product that gives startups feedback.
That is a very, very interesting observation. Feedback. I know how hard it is to get feedback on this show. There are 95% of the people listening will never email me. They may even have some observation. Oh, I wish you would ask this question, that question. I'm not going to get emails from them. It's people do not, I guess, tend to be proactive unless you're in that startup mentality where you know how helpful feedback can be. One of the things I've just learned while you've got me on the topic of feedback is that I've been occasionally sending audio messages to people that unsubscribe from my list, asking the reason why, just as a friendly way of, trying to figure out why it is. And I'm getting some good responses. And so that can be for apps as well. If you find somebody has maybe said, oh, I've not downloaded out, or maybe not used it for a while, you could directly sort of contact them and try and get some feedback from those people and ask why. So just ideas. So thanks for that. That's curation and feedback, two big topics there. Well, this is the App Guy podcast. We can't let you go without asking what's on your phone. You have an Android phone. Are you an app user?
Yes, Android. Yes, I do use apps. I guess I'm big on tools, like Slack and just communication apps, Instagram. Oh my God, Instagram. That's a big part of my phone.
Well, how do you use Instagram? I know it's obviously an app that a lot of people will have on their phones, but how do you use Instagram to engage and keep a following?
It's not really about a following, though. For me, it's just a pleasure to use it because I enjoy moments and I remember a few years back I was in England and I don't even know when it was founded, probably not yet, so I didn't really have like a phone app or anything, photo app or anything. So I was just, my camera was in my hands the whole time, and I would just flash in people's faces, and everyone got really annoyed. I overdid it, yes, but I've just always been kind of obsessed with capturing and holding on to the moment, which is not the healthiest thing. I mean, a lot of other times I would just be enjoying without taking any pictures. But with Instagram, you want to see the beauty of the moment through like filters, and that's the thing for me, because I love playing with Photoshop, with filters and stuff, and making things seem different through colors and patterns and whatever. So I think Instagram is really cool with the filters. Without them, it's just the camera.
Yeah, and actually, you're making me think. I'm trying to approach someone else for the show who has a camera that does not flash and does not even turn on. It darkens so that you're not as intrusive when you are taking pictures of everything. And I thought that was a good idea. So,
Do you know that that's a great idea? Because in England, for example, you can't take pictures in the street. Police stop you. I was even wondering how the law is everywhere, because you're not supposed to be taking pictures of people's faces, strangers' faces. And I don't even know about video, for example, because meerkats, people are taking videos live streaming in the street. So I don't even know how that works.
Wow, so you're telling me you got stopped on the street for taking a picture of the street?
Yeah. And it was a picture of a giant truck and a man inside the truck, and that was a building away. And the guy from the truck gets out of the truck and comes to me and says, "You captured my face." And I'm like, "You were way over there." And he was like, no, I bet you can see it when you magnify it or something.
I have to say I've never heard of such an extreme example. I mean, I was stopped in a shopping mall because I scanned a QR code that happened to be on a shop window, and then the security come rushing to me about a minute later and started frog marching me out the shop. And I said, "Well, I'm just scanning a stupid QR code. These things that you point your phone at." "Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry. Yeah, you're not supposed to take pictures of the retail windows." So How crazy. What a crazy world. Well, you need to get, maybe some more secretive device, you know.
Yeah, like a spy, like something wearable, something on your glasses, but not something as ugly as, you know, the, what was it called?
Google Glass, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how ironic that that guy in the truck has probably had his photo taken 500 times by CCTV, the government, all these
yes,
different things.
Exactly.
And he's not, you know, spraying those with black paint, is he? So whoever the guy, if the guy in the truck knows that story and is listening to this, get in touch with us. We want to know your reason for that. That's just crazy. Okay, well, Violetta, thanks. This has been very inspirational. I'm extremely tempted to get you on my other show called the App Stories Launch Show, because I know you've got a lot more information about specific launching strategies and that sort of stuff. But for now, I will put all the show notes on theappguy.co, and it's episode 301. So people can go and check that out by going to theappguy.co and searching Violetta. But for the meantime, how do we get in touch with you? What's the best way of connecting?
On Twitter. I'm on Twitter all the time. That's at V for Violetta with double T, because I was being funny about V for Vendetta.
Right, okay. Right. It was a joke of a few years ago, and unfortunately...
Yeah, and actually, V for Violetta with one T was taken, so I was unfortunate there.
You know, just before you, I have to say, I chatted with a guy who was one of the early... workers at Twitter. He was there when there was only a few, like maybe less than 100 people or so. And so his Twitter handle is only 3 letters. I was like really blown away. I've never seen anyone with such a...
Wow.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Well, I'll make sure I put links to your Twitter account as well on the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on the show. What a great guest you are. And all the best with you know, changing the world and helping the world move away from these crappy meetings.
Thank you, Paul. It was a pleasure.
So remember, you can get feedback on every aspect of your iOS or Android app by going to gummycube.com. They can arrange split tests for your icons. They can do split tests for your screenshots and much more. You can do this either pre-launch or when your apps are actually live on the App Store. And they have this focus group service as well that is highly recommended. So go to gummycube.com and go and check out DataCube as well. You can get a request for a demo. Thanks very much to GummyCube for supporting the show. Also remember to go to askingpoint.com/appguy. That's all lowercase, askingpoint.com/appguy. And you'll get an exclusive offer as a listener that will give you a discount of 30% if you end up subscribing to their premium services. Now, they do have a basic account, which is free to use. You can certainly try them out. I highly recommend doing that. But if you do ever need to upgrade because your app is growing like mad because of all the ratings you get, then you'll need to use the offer code. And you can find that at askingpoint.com/appguy. And thank you, Asking Point, for sponsoring the show. To remind you that I am looking for feedback on this podcast, and if you are a long-term listener, then I would love to hear what you have to think and say about the show. It means that I can filter out some of the comments that I'm getting from people who are only discovering my show right now. So if you do want to leave feedback, just go to theappguy.co/survey. That's theappguy.co/survey, all lowercase, and go and just complete it. It's not very long. There's no incentive for you to complete it other than really helping me and helping give back and shape your show, because this is what I do for you. And I am so keen to just hear what you think and get feedback. I've actually had people complete the survey and point out a favorite episode and manage to get the guests and them connected. So no promises on that, but if you do complete it, then obviously it's helping shape your show.